Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Two Rivers Pleasant Valley Arson Information Reward Fund has reached a goal of $20,000. Pleasant Valley Community Association board member and treasurer Bob Sugden says the reward fund, launched during a July 10th public meeting about the string of recent arson attacks, grew quickly with diverse support.
We did have some larger grants, but most of it was $50, $20, $100. We've received donations from people who live in the lower 48. We've received donations from people who serve in the Alaska legislature. We've received donations from people in Fairbanks and down in Anchorage and, yeah, from all over. It's been amazing.
Sugden says the reward can be claimed by any member of the public.
Any individual other than a law enforcement person who provides information that leads specifically to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons who are responsible for the arsons that have been taking place in the Two Rivers and Pleasant Valley area.
Sugden emphasizes that all donations for the reward fund set up at Mount McKinley Bank are being tracked by the community association, which will be able to reach out to contributors in the event the reward goes unclaimed.
Go back to the individuals who made the donations and say, how do you want your money handled? Do you want it back? Do you want it to stay perpetually in a reward fund for future Crime Stopper things? Or do you want us to donate this money equally distributed to the families that have been harmed through this arson?
Meanwhile, the community remains on edge, and Sugden cautions people to proceed carefully when they see someone or something that appears suspicious.
What the troopers have said to us, what the FBI has said to us, is if you have a suspicion, a concern about a person or an event that's going on, simply document it by turning on your video recorder on your smartphone and then call 451-5100 and let the troopers know, and they will come and investigate. Their words to us are not to confront, not to try and become a vigilante and, you know, take this person down.
Sugden says a community watch group email has been established to share information. Alaska State Troopers, the State Fire Marshal's Office, and the FBI are investigating 5 arson attacks which have occurred in the Two Rivers Pleasant Valley area over the last 2 months. The state announced 284 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases Friday. The new cases logged Wednesday and Thursday by the Department of Health and Social Services included 264 which were Alaska residents. Among them were 115 in Anchorage and 38 in Sitka. In the interior, Fairbanks had 8 and North Pole 3. There was also one new case elsewhere in the Fairbanks North Star Borough and another in Healy. There were 20 new non-resident cases statewide, including one in Fairbanks. The DHSS also reported 7 new COVID hospitalizations, with 56 diagnosed and 1 suspected virus case in Alaska hospitals. 8 patients were on ventilators. Sitka is in the midst of a COVID-19 surge, and about 1/3 of recent cases have been fully vaccinated people. As KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports, health officials still maintain vaccination is the number one tool in the fight against COVID.
Dr. Louisa Casterdale monitors infectious diseases in the state section of epidemiology.
It's been quite interesting in this time frame, you know, in the last 2 months or so, when we've seen communities that have had sort of a real increase in activity. It's been impressive the proportion that have been vaccine breakthrough. And I kind of wonder if that's also related to the fact that when we had those big outbreaks, or we had those sort of community, real increase in community activity before, it was kind of pre-vaccine. And so that opportunity didn't present itself until we had a population that was vaccinated.
Nevertheless, the vaccines are working because there are many more unvaccinated people contracting COVID than vaccinated people. In Alaska right now, about half the population falls into each group: unvaccinated and vaccinated. At the beginning of February this year, when vaccine distribution began ramping up, the state was seeing about 1,000 new cases of COVID per week among the unvaccinated and only a handful of cases among the vaccinated. As more and more people were vaccinated and new infections began to decline into the spring and summer, there were still a low and steady handful of breakthroughs among the vaccinated every week. Anna Frick does infection control for the state section of epidemiology. She explains that the breakthrough rate seems like it's growing, but only because the overall number of cases is dropping.
Because the total number of cases is decreasing so much, the proportion of this bar that is made up by that small number of vaccine breakthrough cases is increasing, even though the rate is lower.
In Sitka and elsewhere, we've got two populations contracting COVID, two denominators, unvaccinated and vaccinated. Statistically, the 21 breakthroughs out of the 87 new infections are not as significant as the fact that those 21 breakthroughs occurred among a vaccinated population of over 5,000 people. Sitka's unvaccinated population of around 2,000 experienced three times as many cases in the same period. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Pandemic-caused supply chain issues and price spikes are complicating business around Alaska, KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Restaurants generally operate on thin profit margins, so they're especially sensitive to changes in food prices. Plus, staffing is tough right now, and there are fewer customers around with a short cruise ship season.
This is by far, in a way, the hardest thing that we've ever had to deal with.
Risha Wilson is the main owner of five downtown Juneau restaurants, including the Hangar on the Wharf. She says market conditions led her to leave two of her seasonal restaurants closed this summer and raise prices.
It's difficult to manage your day-to-day operations and just get through the day, let alone worrying about having to reprint your menus and pay attention to the inflation as we lean into a very different business model.
She says prices are up across the board, with meats and seafood especially. She hopes the supply chain problems are temporary and that she can rebuild her businesses. Melani Scheibens runs the economic publications firm Raincoast Data in Juneau.
I think that most organizations miscalculated how quickly, once people got the vaccines and once the vaccines were distributed, how quickly sort of normal life would return, and so normal demand. And so you just see a lag, and you see it locally, nationally, globally, in terms of getting the supply chains up to the level of the demand that we are now having.
So burgers and menu prices are one indicator of supply chain issues. Scheibens highlighted another price-related indicator, often measured by the millions.
So we're seeing a lack of building supplies. We see that locally with our building projects. Our construction projects have gotten really expensive really fast.
The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities does a lot of construction.
We are definitely seeing price fluctuations, a lot of prices going up, material shortages in general across the board.
Christopher Goins is a DOT construction engineer who estimates he'll oversee more than $140 million in construction contracts across the region this season. The way competitive bidding on government contracts goes, construction companies doing work now likely locked in what they're being paid months ago or even years ago for multi-season projects before materials prices went wild.
Yeah, so the most part, our contracts in the state of Alaska really don't have what we call escalation clauses. When a dollar amount comes in, it's pretty much a fixed dollar amount for that contract.
Goins says the department has been willing to give contractors extra time, but it's on them to factor risk into their bids. Looking forward, Goins has hopes, but no certainty.
I don't think we're through this inflationary blip, if it is a blip, and hopefully the markets, as the country gets back to producing and the world gets back to producing, we hope that some of those higher spikes will begin to fall.
The industry group Associated General Contractors of America has said the materials and supply chain problems may put some firms out of business and add to the industry's high unemployment rates. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And I'm Dan Bross.